morning, DM, and DG, and all your officials. You are welcome. Our apologies for delaying the meeting. We are still busy with our researchers as the portfolio committee. We started early in the morning. So that's why we were delayed.
Into this call for partnership very seriously. Then on the difficult side, the recent unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and in some parts of Gauteng has really impacted women severely. Women make up 75% of the informal economy, and women form the majority of workers in the small business and retail sector, which have been negatively affected by the recent unrest, which has resulted in the closure of thousands of businesses. And of course, we say this knowing that its aid was doing to small businesses. So, also, these small businesses were also a space for young people to play with ease and persons with disability. And all of a sudden, then, what happened, it really affected the most vulnerable in the negative way. So the recent unrest, also we have to analyze very carefully and see how we position women as government pledge a support for women. Now, more than ever before, we are saying this month, we must push for realization of the MTSF target of 40% of procurement going to women-owned and women-led businesses. That was a commitment which was made by the president last year. But of course, these things don't automatically happen on their own. I think the department has come up with different strategies. One of them is to have formal conversations, making use also of the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, formal conversations with the trade industry and competition, but also with Treasury, which is very strategic. Unfortunately, the minister showed interest, wanted to partner with us without disclosing that he's on his way out. He felt he had served, but we do believe the Minister of Finance will follow suit to engage with us and understand what are we saying when we talk about procurement that on a large scale is looking at women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Honorable members, also what we are struggling with is the COVID-19 vaccination program, which is at full speed. As a country, we've improved. We've improved in the sense that we have opened quite a number of channels. We are partnering with the private sector. They are in the forefront of offering spaces and venues, all the things that are making a difference. But we are, however, concerned that some men are hesitant to vaccinate. Of course, there are quite a number of myths around vaccination you pick it up on social media, in radio station. So those are some of the things that we're working on with our provinces in particular, that they should make use of health and psychosocial students to really deal with these needs and behavior change, because we respect what scientists have said in terms of saying the more people are vaccinated, the better for any community, in the sense that people could get infected but and not end up with severe symptoms. Honorable members, during Women's Month, the scourge of gender-based violence becomes a key talking point in the media. Once again, we are given an indication of the depth of the problem and its persistence. We welcome His Excellency, our President, Tate Cyril Ramaphosa's release of the Year One Rollout Report of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. What has become clear is it only through partnerships that we can eradicate GBVF. Civil society and the private sector have come on board to implement the NSP on GBVF through the multisectoral collaborative platform facilitated by the department. The multisectoral implementation collaborative platform was established in June 2020, and it builds onto the multisectoral impetus established through the Interim Steering Committee on GBVF. The department, ministerial and DG clusters, and cabinet provided programmatic oversight using different mechanisms to assist departments to embed the NSP on GBVF targets into the machinery of government. These include the development of monitoring and evaluation plans, incorporation of targets into annual performance plans, integrated development plans and budgets, as well as providing technical support towards the establishment of provincial and local coordination structures, including the establishment of rapid response teams at district and local level. A key challenge remains government departments embedding the NSP on GBVF within their operational plans. As long as government does not do what it takes to effectively put the NSP on GBVF into practice, government will not honor the promise of a South Africa free from GBVF directed at women, children, and LGBTQIA plus persons. The National Council on GBVF is still to be formed, and this is now largely a parliamentary process with legislation to be consulted on. In the first quarter of this year, there has been 9 rapid response teams established to be able to quickly mobilize on the ground and respond to cases of GBVF. Over the first quarter of 2021-2022, we're proud to see a number of disability rights frameworks being consulted at various forums and levels. We're also proud to respond that the South African Youth Development Bill has been developed and consulted upon. Honorable members, against this environment, allow me to raise a few points before the Director General takes you through the reports to be presented here. in more detail. We welcome the appointment of the Director ICT, Ms. Malebo Kubi. This appointment will go some way in addressing risks that have been identified since the beginning of 2021. I said to our DG, does it mean a website will always be up and running now? And so the DG has assured us that with this appointment, we are likely to be in compliance. Remember, we have to advertise in their website. It's a treasury regulation that all departments should always do that. So we are really grateful for this, and we are looking forward to the delivery by our director, new director, Ms. Malebo Kubi. On fraud prevention, I'm happy to report that the department has a fraud prevention plan in place and committed to fraud prevention. Fraud prevention actions that were not implemented are being addressed with relevant units. In large part, prevention of fraud can be put down to implementation of identified risks in the department. Over the fourth quarter period, 26 of the 27 risk mitigation actions were implemented. In the first quarter of the 2021-2022 financial year, 93 mitigation actions have been planned, with 84% already being implemented. While we are implementing our HR plan, we remain on the back foot as the decision to reduce the headcount of our already small departments, a reduction of almost 10 million rand in the compensation of employee budget, has a severe impact on our work. During the period, quarter 4, 2020-2021, and quarter 1, 2021-2022, we report no financial misconduct on the part of employees. The department did not incur fruitless and wasteful expenditure during the quarter under review. In conclusion, Chairperson, in achieving our mandate as a department and wider objective of inclusionary development as a country, the department has a key role to play in regulating policies and frameworks and also monitoring performance of departments tasked with implementing the MTSF. Despite challenges of capacity, this department continues to meet its obligations in terms of a center of government department tasked to foster partnership, conduct awareness, interventions, and monitor progress in implementation of programs that benefit women, youth, and persons with disability. In the year of Charlotte Manyamakrake, we must remember that ground-up department is necessary to empower vulnerable groups. We are excited by the rollout of our radio program going out in all 11 languages, which seeks to empower women with information on starting a business, how to do business with the state, registering a business, navigating legal and other requirements, etc. What should give the committee comfort is that through partnerships with provinces have identified agencies like NAFCOC, the Association of Entrepreneurs, who as far back as the difficult apartheid years were doing these things at a community level. So we continue to come across them already helping our women at a local level to be able to set up entities for business. Chairperson, honorable members, I will now invite our Director General, Advocate Mikateko Joy Maluleke, to take us through the details of the presentation that are already before you. I trust and hope that as the department, we'll have fruitful discussions and make determinations where the portfolio committee has guided. I thank you.
Chairperson, Minister in the absence, Deputy Minister, honorable members of the committee, colleagues. First of all, I would like to send my condolences to the committee and to the family of honorable Maluleke. It's so sad to lose such a member, an honorable member of such a stature. My condolences to the committee and a family.
Chair, if I could please request that videos be turned on so that we can see the presenters.
Oh, it's on. Can't you see me?
There we go. I see you now, DG.
Okay, thank you. I was saying it's sad to lose such an honorable member, such as Honorable Maluleke. My condolences. And I was saying, Chairperson, we missed you. You haven't called us for a long time. When last did you call us? Quarter four and quarter one. You see that you haven't called us for a long time because we are here to present a quarter four for 2020-2021 and quarter one for 2021-2022. But here we are. We are pleased to present quarter four 2020-2021 financial year and quarter one 2021-2022 financial year overall performance of the department. The strategic focus of the department is on regulating the socioeconomic empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities. We continue to implement our mandate through legislation and policy development, engaging in advocacy and coordination and mainstreaming institutional support, capacity building, monitoring and evaluation of implementation of programs and measures for the promotion of equality and empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities in line with outcomes on the MTSF priorities. In slide two, the presentation layout is as follows. Part A focuses on strategic focus and general information. Part B on departmental performance information, quarter three. Part C, governance, risk management reports.
Okashifa is saying, I said the annual report. It's a fourth quarter report, not an annual report.
Yes. I forgot. I wanted to. That's why I was saying.
I thought the annual report.
Yes, the annual report has not yet even been tabled. So that means we'll come back for the annual report. So we'll see you again, as I was saying, that you haven't called us for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Part C, governance risk management reports were submitted as annex chart. Part D, human resource oversight report. Part E, financial management report. In slide three, I think Val is flighting. I can't see here, but I hope honorable members can see the slide. Val?
DJ, you will have to close your camera for me to share.
Okay.
DJ, I'm ready to share, but
I will have to close my video. You've seen me. I'm here. I'm in office attire. I'm not wearing pajamas. Thank you. Val will share the presentation. I'm just giving the summary as introduction. Val will go through the entire presentation later. In slide three, in the previous quarter, the department performance was out of 24 planned targets. 16, which is 67% targets were achieved, while 8 were not achieved. In quarter four, there is an increase by 12 percentage points. Out of 28 targets planned, 22, which is 79% targets, were achieved, while 6, which is 21% targets, were not achieved. The portfolio committee will note that the department has improved its performance in this financial year to 94% for quarter one, 2021-2022. I think next time when we come test, we will have achieved 100%. That's what we are gunning for. There are challenges here and there. However, we are gunning for 100%. In the 2020-2021 financial year, the department tabled a revised APP addendum, which factored changes brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic in its operation and execution of targets, which led to the following indicators being adjusted. Machineries across all programs and community mobilization were discontinued. The following information was submitted as annexures. Governance matters relating to risk management and the key achievement of the core business. I'll take you through slides 4 to 8. There is progress made on the implementation of gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation and auditing framework across the national departments and at provincial level. In collaboration with the DPME, the department has undertaken analysis of some department strategic plans and annual performance plans to determine women, youth, and persons with disabilities responsiveness. These are Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, National Treasury, COCTA, Department of Human Settlement, Department of Water and Sanitation, Department of Small Business Development, Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, Department of Social Development, SAPS, Department of Higher Education and Training, and Department of Science and Innovation. The department conducted capacity building on the implementation of the GRPB MEAF through structured meetings with national and provincial governments and one-on-one in meetings organized by different departments, including SALGA. We did that with SALGA and also with provincial, the municipalities. Some municipalities invite us to come and do capacity building. An inception report on the formative evaluation on implementation, on implementing the gender responsive budgeting framework was developed. The department continues to partner with the National School of Governance in facilitating training for gender responsive planning and budgeting in government. The department is in ongoing engagement with the National Treasury on the implementation of gender responsive budgeting, and in 2020, the National Treasury, for the first time, has piloted assessing how departments gender responsiveness in their budgeting through gender pegging process. So this will really assist, because once the National Treasury tags certain programs or tag processes, then all government departments will comply, because the National Treasury has a stick and a carrot. So government departments will comply. So that was a strategic move on our part as a department in ensuring that the National Treasury is empowered to understand gender-responsive budgeting, and also to create mechanisms to be able to enforce it. Currently, the department is engaged with National Treasury and the IMF processes towards a strategy and rollout program on training of not just at national, however, national, provincial and local government, to train them on gender responsive budgeting. Research undertakings were initiated on the following: women, youth and persons with disabilities, inclusion, participation, responsiveness and mainstreaming in infrastructure programs, in human settlement and water sanitation. Besides us conducting research on that, we're also in constant discussions with the DG of human settlement in order to ensure that women-owned companies within the infrastructure are also provided opportunities within that sector. Also, we have managed to ensure that the HDA had advertised calling out for members to be on the panel. Most women companies complained that they didn't even see the advert. So we met with the Department of Human Settlement to say the way you advertise, women don't have access. So they are going to relook into that. A study on equity, representation and empowerment in top 100 JSE listed companies, state-owned enterprise, and unlisted companies with a turnover of over $1 billion per annum. This is going to be interesting. And from this study, we are going to develop a framework in order to work together with the JSC and the state-owned enterprises, so that they will be able to integrate or to mainstream women in their work in management and in terms of issuing tenders or whatever opportunities that exist. Research on gender pay gap in public service. We collaborated with UNIDO on research on women in green economy. The report was launched in July 2021. The budget program structure continues to be structured in 5 programs: administration, social transformation and economic empowerment, policy, stakeholder knowledge management, national youth development, and rights of persons with disabilities. The 2019 macro organization of government NMOC process was finalized with the transfer of functions and concomitant resources of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and National Youth Development Program with effect from 1 April 2020. A further process of organizational redesign and restructure has been initiated to ensure that the structure is more appropriately aligned to the new mandate, strategic intentions and service delivery model of the department. Of the department's work is at a consultation stage, and meetings were held with DPSA and National Treasury in an effort to comply with resourcing of the department. Whilst managing the fundamental changes that the NMOC process introduced, National Treasury informed the department that due to macroeconomic challenges to the South African economy, reductions had been made to the MTF baseline compensation of employees compensation. As a result thereof, the decision was made to reduce the headcount of the department to ensure that compensation-related expenditure would remain within the allocated MTF ceiling, particularly in the outer years of the medium term. Through the 2020 INAENE process, National Treasury informs the department in September 2020 that the 2020-2021 compensation of employee baseline allocation was reduced by 7.3 million 6 months into the financial year. In October 2020, a further reduction of 2.1 million was announced to the 2020 compensation of employee allocation to fund the SAA business rescue plan. These reductions to the MTF compensation of employees baseline allocations shall have serious consequences for the restructuring options available to the department and its ability to adequately resource its intended performance targets and deliverables, especially on youth and persons with disabilities. In support of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, the DPSA and National Treasury reached consensus in November 2020 on the creation of a gender-based violence femicide secretariat within the department to support the interim gender-based violence council and its functioning. Approval accordingly granted for the shifting of funds from goods and services to the compensation of employees to be ring-fenced for the appointment of the secretariat. The following fixed-term contract positions were created till 30 March 2021, additional to the post-establishment in program to social transformation and economic empowerment. Director of the Secretariat, two deputy directors, and an administrative officer. As the Secretariat was only established in the fourth quarter of 2021, respective recruitment and selection processes to fill the director and deputy director's post were not completed by the end of the financial year. Accordingly, the compensation funds that had been transferred for the remaining portion were not spent. Nonetheless, these vacancies contributed to the vacancy rate on the basis that they had been funded posts. I will now focus on core business, key achievements, and colleagues from strategic planning, corporate services, and financial management will present the overall performance for both quarter four and quarter one, as required by the portfolio committee. We have responded to the providing information, which the committee required updates as follows. Program two of quarter four, the portfolio committee requested that we should indicate the number of targets achieved and not achieved for quarter four, and to clearly indicate what the department has implemented to improve the performance of this program during quarter four. In governance, transformation, justice, and security, it had four targets that were achieved and two targets that were not achieved. All the other targets within social transformation and economic empowerment branch were achieved. So it was just one unit within STI which didn't achieve two targets. In improving the performance of this program during the period under review, the capacity of the department has been augmented through establishing partnership agreements with GIZ and UN Women. Through this agreement, the department will be able to access expertise. Through this agreement, the department will be able to access the expertise from the technical support provided by the development agencies. The department also appointed four contract workers to ensure there is no delay in the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. All provinces have rolled out sanitary pads to learners, thus addressing menstrual health challenges for learners in quintile 1 to 3 from and special schools. The committee has requested that we provide progress report and feedback on matters previously raised by the committee. for this program. Within Program 2, the committee was concerned about the institutional mechanisms in coordinating the sanitary dignity implementation framework at the local level. The issue on the lack of female-owned businesses being excluded from the procurement process and non-spending of some of the provinces on the allocation received from national treasury, including varying frequencies for distribution of sanitary towels. In economic empowerment, the capacity of the department has been augmented through establishing partnership agreements. With GIZ and UN Women, the department will be able to access expertise from this technical support provided by these agencies. The program addressed the matters at the national task team held during the period under review. A resolution was taken to host a meeting with all provinces comprising SCM officials and program managers during the next quarter. The portfolio committee requested that we must clearly indicate what has been done to address the outstanding targets, if any, from quarter three of 2020-2021, and any of the previous quarters for 2020-2021. These were addressed in annexures on key achievements that has been sent to the portfolio committee. A woman-owned business session was held with the presidency and UN Women on 10 June to address issues that hinder access for women in government procurement processes in the context of sanitary dignity program through a workshop with women entrepreneurs in Alfred Nzo district in Eastern Cape. This also encapsulated issues pertaining to the economic value chain, like manufacturing, distribution, storage, and waste disposal, and others. The department participated in the MINMEC of Department of Human Settlement and Water and Sanitation, especially towards work on infrastructure and inclusion of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. We continue to engage and work with stakeholders such as Department of Public Enterprise, SANEC, Medical Research Council on mental health research and transport to ensure women, youth, and persons with disabilities inclusion in government programs and initiatives. Research undertakings were initiated in the following areas: inclusion of women, participation in human settlement, studies on JSC to compare JSC and state-owned companies and undisclosed companies in terms of women empowerment. And we're also engaging on research on gender pay gap in the public service. Quarter four, rights of persons with disabilities. In quarter four, the preparations for the consultations of the issue paper, we are in the process of developing legislation. However, because we're working with the Law Reform Commission, the Law Reform Commission works on a certain process. So we consulted on the discussion paper. We're waiting for them to give us the report after the inputs that they have received. The department is secretariat of the Presidential Working Group on Disability. The Presidential Working Group meets regularly, quarterly, with the department, and it is consulted on programs and projects and will host a strategic planning session to develop its own plan of action. The targets on the disability rights machinery is included in the operational plan as part of the stakeholder engagement. The machinery has been revised and scheduled to have the first quarter meeting in July. The meeting has happened. The department successfully participated in the UN 14th Conference of State Parties in June 2021, the research report on the impact of COVID-19 on persons with disabilities, and the annual performance report on the inclusion of persons with disabilities are in process to the clusters for processing and approval. We completed the research report on the standardization of measures and definitions of disability. The disability inclusion assessment and analysis for quarter one report has resumed. The department is currently analyzing the following reports: quarterly reports, budget both policy statements and annual reports, and will produce a report on the status and on the status of compliance with disability indicators. In quarter one, the RPG consultations on the issue paper were rolled out in May and June. The department participated in the UN COSP 2021 in June 2021. The analysis of departmental APPs also has resumed, analyzing disability, the mainstreaming of disability, to advocate and mainstream the rights of persons with disabilities. The RPD branch has provided inputs and recommendations into the social impact workstream on COVID-19 and interdepartmental forums for economic empowerment. The 365-day calendar on disability and disability rights awareness program for 2021 is available. On youth development, quarter four, to improve mainstreaming of youth development across society, the minister has launched an the approved National Youth Policy 2020 to 2030 on 5 March 2021. The process to develop the MNE framework has started. Consultation of National Youth Development Agency Amendment Act were intensified in quarter four. Youth programs for quarter one has achieved the following. The NYD amendment bill is being processed to cabinet. The translation of the policy into all South African languages is almost concluded. All languages with the exception of isiXhosa were received from National Language Services. The Braille version of the document is now available and is being shared with the relevant stakeholders. The draft South African Youth Development Bill has been developed. It was also presented to one government cluster and is due to be presented to other government clusters. The bill seeks to intensify service provision to young people by ensuring implementation of the National Youth Policy. Chairperson, I am joined by officials in the department. Ms. Val will present on the reports themselves, quarter four and quarter one. Ms. Mbazima will present on the human resource aspect. Ms. Desiree Khwale will present on on the finances. I'll hand over to Ms. Val Matovel to present the report, the quarter four and quarter one reports.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, DM, Minister in her absence, and members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues from the department in this meeting. The slide on slide 9 predicts a graphic achievement of the department for quarter four. We had 28 targets planned, and 22 of those, which is 79%, were achieved, while 6 were not achieved, which is 21%, as previously indicated by DM and the DG. I'm trying to move the presentation. It won't move, I think I... Okay. On slide 10, it's program one. We had 5 targets which were planned, 3 were achieved and 2 were not achieved. Okay, and I'm going to take the committee through the presentation, focusing on the targets which were not achieved. In program one, as indicated, we had a target on 100% payment of all valid invoices, which was achieved. My screen is a bit slow to come up, so I will just continue presenting. I'm not sure if you can see the screen from your side.
Yes, we can see.
Okay, DJ, thank you. I'm trying to move to the laptop. The network is not good where I am. Okay, DJ, I want to fix it. Okay. And we also had in corporate management to maintain a vacancy rate of less than 10%. At the end of quarter four, the vacancy rate was 8.5. We achieved this target. And we also had the target on the human resource plan, which had to be developed. This target, chairperson, was achieved. We had the HR plan approved by the end of the financial year. The targets which were not achieved were as follows. The approved master information technology strategy and plan. The draft was in place and it was circulated for consultation in quarter one of the 2021-22 financial year. And as indicated, we do have a JITO appointed in the department, and we are hopeful that in the upcoming quarters, chairperson, we will be moving with the target in the ICT environment. The final draft wage bill was not achieved. The consultation on the review of the draft bill were done internally, and we are going to continue this work in this financial year. In program two, they had 8 targets planned. 6 of those were achieved and 2 were not achieved. The 2 which were not achieved, chairperson, are in sub-program governance, transformation, justice and security. They are in relation to the Phase 4 National Council on Gender-Based Violence Framework established and launched. We've got the legislation. The legislation on the council is being consulted on, and we have appointed the technical team as indicated by DG on the new allocation and approved budget to capacitate this area of work. And we will be, the corrective actions that we have indicated in the presentation, we have the UN Women placed a technical expert that is currently assisting the process of legislation, and we will also be fast-tracking this work, and you will see when we present quarter one that the unit has already improved in making sure that we perform the work on the council as planned. The next program, the next target is also in governance transformation. The comprehensive national GBV prevention strategy was to be developed in quarter four. The actual performance that we did, we had a partnership agreement to augment the capacity challenges that we had, and we worked with UN Women and GIZ, and we are now currently working on the implementation of the target, and we will you will see when we report quarter one shortly that these targets have been achieved. In program three, they had 7 targets planned and they were all achieved. I'll just scroll through as the presentations were shared for the committee to note. In program four, they had 4 targets planned, 2 of those were achieved. And the 2 which were not achieved were on the legislative report for the development of disability rights bill produced. the process of the bill was determined by the Law Reform Commission drafting process, and we had learned, as indicated in the previous quarters, that when we develop the 2021-22 APP, we will only have targets that are within the control of the department to be achieved. And the frameworks on the disability rights awareness campaigns and a framework on self-representation by persons with disabilities were also not achieved in quarter four, but they have subsequently been achieved in quarter one. In quarter four, the reasons for deviations were the fact that the framework still had to go for consultation at NADLEC, and they also needed to serve through the DG cabinet system, cluster system. In program five, they had four targets planned, and all of those targets were achieved. These were the targets for noting by the committee. Chairperson, so that we don't move from one quarter to another, I request your permission to hand over to Mr. Shibisi to present the human resource oversight for quarter four, followed by the CFO, who will also present on quarter four, and then we will project the presentation on quarter one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. The quarter four report, like Val was indicating, was submitted. It's an accrual report, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. This is the information that we extrapolate from PESAL and analyze it and put it. And then the last quarter, quarter four, in terms of the approved post, 142 fixed posts were 30, funded vacancies were 12, SMS vacancies, there were 6, and the vacancy rate 13.3, and the turnover rate were 9.1, representation of women in SMS position 51.3, representation of people with disabilities 4.6, the employees that were trained 63, and the performance agreements by the 31 October deadline, there were 30 that signed. Especially SMS members, and then that constituted 76.9%. And the average, the number of days sick leave taken, there were 3.4. And then the average number of annual leave taken were 14.9. Next slide, Van. Then the vacancy rate, like was indicated earlier, were less than 10%, which is 8.5. Those are the positions, status of vacant position at the 31st of March that were captured, the DDG, Policy Stakeholder Coordination and Knowledge Management. It was a result of the resignation of the previous incumbent. The Chief Director of Governance and Compliance, Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It was advertised. The advertisement was in process at that time. The administrative secretary, the minister, and the media liaison officer, it filled at the discretion of the minister, which is the executing authority. The government information technology officer, at that time, it was advertised. The recruitment was in process. I think the deputy minister has indicated he has since been appointed from 15th July this year. And the secretariat, like DG indicated, those four positions, the secretariat, the two deputies, they were advertised, they were since appointed and assumed duty June and July, respectively. The senior state accountant was advertised but assumed duty on the 15th May. The assistant executive personal assistance office of the DG also, at that time, it was advertised but assumed duty 1st June 2021. The senior secretary corporate also advertised as on duty 1st May this year, and the senior secretary stakeholder was advertised and assumed duty on the 1st of June this year. Next slide. Yeah, those are service terminations, and also that information will extrapolate from personnel. The only unfortunate part of it, we lost two members of the staff, the desk, we lost two members of the staff. One was, it's in the Deputy Minister's office. The other one was the former GITO. Next slide, Van. Yeah, the disciplinary matters, as of that one, there were no financial misconduct reported during that period. No employees were on special leave. No employees were on precautionary suspension. One hearing was resolved through settlement by resignation of the employee. There was one case that was the hearing that was in process as at the end of the quarter. And thanks very much, Van.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, DG and the colleagues from the department. I'm going to make a presentation on the status of finances of the department as at end of quarter four of the 2020-21 financial year. If we look on the slide that is projected currently, it demonstrates the spending of the department across all programs, and the adjusted budget for the department, which was the final appropriation, is 620,976,000, and the department spent 602,428,000, which translates to 97% of the budget. And the saving that was realized by the department as at end of the quarter four is 18.5 million. Next slide, please. In terms of the breakdown of the expenditure according to economic classifications on compensation of employees, the department spent 98% of the 112.5 million, and on goods and services, the department spent 43.3 million, which translates to 74.7% of the allocated 57.9 million. On transfers and subsidies, there is an underspend of 5,000, and 100% of the allocated budget has been spent. On machinery and equipment, there's an underspending of 1.6 million, 52,000, which translates, and the expenditure is 2 million, which translates to 55% of the 3.6 million allocated. In terms of the allocation that was earmarked for transfers to CGE, the department transferred all the budget that was set aside both for CGE and NYTA, and 100% was spent in terms of the entity's allocation. Next slide, please. Next slide. I'll use my presentation from my side. On the next slide, the final appropriation of the department, as indicated, is 620.9 million, and the expenditure 602, which translates to 97%. Program 1 administration has an underspending of 1.3 million, and this underspending is due to the expenditure linked to the functions of RPD and youth that was transferred to the department effective 1 April 2020. The funding for 666,000 was earmarked to procure finishing equipment for NYD unit, as the transfer into the department did not include their equipment, and the finisher could not be procured due to challenges around office space. The department also renewed the Microsoft licenses, and the award was done in March. However, the payment could not be effected before 31 March due to administrative and compliance processes that needed to be concluded before a payment could be made. And the amount that was supposed to be paid at that time was 648,000, and the department has requested for a rollover of this amount. However, the payment was subsequently made in the month of April of this financial year. In terms of program two, the program underspent by 7 million. The underspending is mainly due to three areas: the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, travel and subsistence and operating payments. The NCGBVF was earmarked to be off the ground during the 2020-21 financial year, but due to challenges in the manner of the establishment of the council, the project had to be delayed, hence the underspending in this area. The EMF funding that remained unspent has been included in the application for rollover of unspent funds through the National Treasury. And the underspending funding amounting to 1.9 million in relation to travel and subsistence was due to restrictions on travel linked to facilitation of various projects on GBV F and the sanitary dignity campaign. Lastly, on program two, unspent funds amounting to 1.4 million in relation to operating payments is linked to the provision of content material printed to be issued as part of the campaign on the GBVF and the establishment of the council. On program three, the total unspent funds on this program is 6.2 million, and 1.2 million of the 6 million is on compensation of employee, and this is attributable to vacant post of the DDG in this program, which was not filled by the end of the financial year due to the organizational redesign process that was in progress at the time. On goods and services, the underspending is 4.8 million. And the unspent funds amounting to 890,000 is mainly due to lockdown restrictions, and 1.7 million relates to public gatherings and engagements in stakeholder coordination and outreach was not spent due to COVID-19 restrictions. And also the appointment of the service provider to conduct a formative evaluation on GRBPMEAF was also delayed due to technical challenges as a result, and the process is in place to ensure that this appointment is taking place by the end of this quarter. On program four underspent by 3.7 million, 87,000, and the underspending is between goods and services and compensation of employee. On compensation of employee, the underspending is 1 million and is due to the vacant post of the Chief Director, Governance and Compliance Rights of Persons with Disabilities that was not filled, also as a result of the organizational redesign process that was taking place in the department. The underspending on goods and services is due to the delay in the implementation of the research project to harmonize disability rights reporting instruments and legislative audit for disability rights bill, and also the COVID-19 restriction negatively impacted the spending in this program. In terms of the implementation of the audit action plan, the department achieved 76.9% of targets that were achieved. 5 of the targets that were in progress are in ICT, and 1 is in finance. In terms of unauthorized expenditure, irregular and fruitless, on unauthorized expenditure, there's no unauthorized expenditure recorded by the end of the period under review. on irregular expenditure an amount of 1 million in cash relating to the security contract that was identified as irregular during the audit of the 2017-18 financial year. And the determination process was still underway during the quarter, and the outcome of the determination process will be discussed with the accounting officer at the time of preparation of the report by 31 July 2021. On fruitless expenditure, the department did not record.
Can you hear that, Van? What were you saying about the termination of that contract?
Oh, the determination process was in progress, and in consultation with internal audit, it was anticipated that the report of this process will be discussed with the accounting officer by 31 July 2021.
2021 July has passed. What is the progress?
Chairperson, may I request that we give an update on this one when we do quarter one? Is that allowed? Oh.
Okay,
yeah. Thank you. On deviations, as at 31 March, the slide depicts all deviations that were approved as at end of 31 March 2021. Two of the deviations relate to a single source appointment, whereby there's only one service provider who can provide the services that were needed by the department. And the variation relates to the printing of the annual report, and the additional amount that the department had to pay was as a result of additional information that AG requested the department to include in the annual report, which increased the number of pages that we initially appointed the service provider to print for the department. And the other one is on obtaining less than 3
calls. Oh, all the outstanding matters of quarter four, you'll give us an update or a progress report on quarter one.
It would be the one on the determination of a irregular expenditure check. I'm not
monitoring
too sure.
Evaluation.
I indicated that the process is in place and the appointment will be concluded by the end of the quarter.
Who was going to introduce the ICT?
On ICT, Chairperson, you will see when I present the status of implementation in quarter four that there has been a improvement, and the department exceeded the target that was set of 75% of implementation by the end of third quarter of the implementation of the AAP. We need to note that the audit action plan is a quarter behind in terms of the financial year calendar, because the audit is concluded in the second quarter of the financial year.
Okay, I'm asking you all the critical ones because I want to know. We want to know progress in terms of director of ICT. I think DG was saying something. The only thing that I was disturbed. Have you appointed a person?
Yes, the ICT director has been appointed effective 15 July.
The lease?
The lease is an ongoing process. Person which initially, when the department realized that DPWI was not ready to provide the department with alternative accommodation when the contract expired, the department through the Office of the Accounting.
I want for you, when you are presenting quarter one, I want all the outstanding matters that were raised as the portfolio committee to be so that you give us a progress report on all of them when you are presenting quarter one.
Oh, okay, Chairperson.
Yeah, as you present, outstanding letters when you present quarter one, just give us the progress report on all of those.
Okay,
I'm still reading my notes, and I will tell you others. Okay, you can continue.
Okay, sure. And the other deviation, it was an extension of contract, and it was within the 15% threshold. However, it was approved by Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. It's the contract for office accommodation, and also the printing of the ATP where less than three quotations were obtained from the market. The next slide, Chairperson.
Let me allow you to finish.
Okay. Chairperson, the next slide relates to major events undertaken and international obligation. Maybe through you, I request that we don't go through the slide. And this brings me to the end of the presentation, Chair.
Didi?
Chair?
Who's going to present quarter one?
Val will continue.
Can you update us? There's a letter that we have received as the portfolio committee from one of your DDG. I don't know whether you have expelled her or you have... can you explain? You know the DDG I'm talking about. It's a pity. I'm looking for this letter now. There was a DDG that at some stage was suspended. And she appealed and she won the case. And then she came back to the department. And coming back to the department, apparently it's like that person at your department is like, it seems like you are not giving her work. She's redundant, or you are trying to expel her as a department. If maybe you can clarify us. I'm trying to look for this report. My challenge that I'm having now is that I'm using I was trying to log in with my laptop, but it just froze, and I'm using my iPad since morning, and I'm reading my report through my cell phone. So, you know,
I know who you're talking about in the story.
Oh.
Yes, this person was expelled, I think, 20, Mbazima can give us the years. I was not there then. I was not in the department. She came back. I don't know what happened from when she came back until when I joined the department in August last year. When I joined the department last year, when I was being given handover report, I was informed of everything within the department, but also that she doesn't come to the department, she earns money for nothing. So when I arrived, I called her to a meeting, and I spoke to her, I invited her. When I told her that a minister will be introducing me to the staff, I said to her, you must attend. And she said, no, I do not attend. I'm not invited to the meeting. So I said, no, Minister is going to introduce me to the staff, and you are one of the staff. You are in the DG's office, because when she was reinstated, maybe before I get there, let me go back. The story is a Chairperson. In 2014, when President Zuma proclaimed that the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities will be changed to Department of Women, and Children and and persons with disabilities will be transferred to DSD. That time, there had to be an NMOC process. And when there was an NMOC process, the agreement during the NMOC process was that two DDGs from the department and a certain number of people, the two units, the children and a unit of persons with disabilities and the support staff from HR and other areas would be transferred to social development. And the process also downgraded the post in the department. A corporate management was at a DDG level at that time when it was still women, children, and persons with disabilities. So when it remained as the Department of Women only, the corporate services was at a chief director level. And she was a DDG of corporate services when all that process happened. And she was leading the NMOC process, the negotiations with social development, and, you know, the entire process she was leading. She was representing the department in the teams that were established. So the two posts that were transferred to social development was DDG corporate services. That means she agreed with the team when they transferred a post. And DDG was responsible for children and disability DDG. When the people were transferred to social development, she didn't go. She remained in the department, and yet her salary and the post were transferred to social development. After everything was finalized, then that's when the minister realized that she remained in the department, and yet her salary and her post have been transferred to social development. Then there was that race where then Minister Susan Chabangu wanted a social development to take her because they had taken the post and the salary. Social development said, we've already advertised that post. The process is far. We are in the process of appointing. And then...
Yes. Was aware that that post has been transferred to social development.
She, Chairperson, when there's an NMOC process, she was the person, the DDG Corporate Services, which was representing the department in the committee that was transferring the salaries, that was agreeing on transferring the salaries and the post and all. She knew that her post, because she was in the team, that her post has been transferred. But I think for whatever reason, she thought her post had been transferred, but the department will create another DDG position because that is what she has been fighting for all this time. She wants the department to create a DDG position. And yet, DPSA said the DDG position must be transferred because the department cannot have a DDG position, corporate services.
When you come to the portfolio committee, DG, does this person come to the meetings all the time?
She doesn't work. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't come. There was a point where when I started, I invited her to the meetings, and she even attended, I think, the portfolio committee for the first time or the second time, but she never attended again because when I arrived and called her, she thought I would create a DDG position. But also at one meeting with her, I said to her, I will consult with DPSA because you are already paid at a DDG level and you are doing absolutely nothing. So we'll ask them if we can create a post at DDG level so that you can occupy. I spoke to the DDG at DPSA. The DDG said, what does the advice say, the advice that was advising you when they removed that position? It was that your department cannot have a DDG position. We can't remove a DDG position and indirectly create that position. However, when I was now in the department, we agreed with the minister that she can't sit and do nothing because we can't create a DDG corporate services. And in her contract, she says we'll change the contract because she applied for DDG corporate services. But in her contract, it's
stipulates that the employer can remove you and put you in another place depending on the circumstances. However, she refuses to be placed anywhere. Minister wrote to her and said, we have a DDG disability position and it is unfunded. She wanted to place her there. She refused. She wrote back to the minister and said, I do not want that position. She do not want that position. She wants what she wants. But let me go back a chairperson. When Minister Susan at that time couldn't place her.
Let me do this.
This is critical. This is critical. You will want to hear.
Yeah.
Minister Shabangu wanted. She requested.
What I'm saying, we're gonna call you,
yes.
So that you pass a detailed report in the meeting, so that we can also share with you what is our legal advice. What advice did you got from our legal team in Parliament? So we'll call you in a special portfolio meeting, so that we deal with these things once and for all.
Okay.
But I cannot derail you for the reports that you are presenting today.
Okay. But
now we're trying to remove all the outstanding things of the department and correspondence that we receive. In fact, on that meeting, we'll be discussing all the correspondence that we have received from other people in relations or from the speaker's office, because most of the correspondence that we discuss, it's when they are referred to us. By the speaker and to the chairperson, so we'll have to make a convene a special meeting like what we did with the GE, so that we have enough time to discuss all these matters and you give us a detailed report prepared, you know, so that you must not miss other things, important things that you can share with us as the portfolio committee.
Yes, Chair, but what I wanted to say is that the advice from the Parliamentary Advice Office is not going to assist us, because it is one side of the story. Normally, she presents her side of the story to favor her, but the facts are not true. So I think before you get the final advice, get our side of the story so that you have both sides.
Yeah, that's
why. We cannot have a person who's earning at 1.5 million for 3 years or 4 years not doing anything, earning salary for Mahala. That is just too much. So, I think we'll...
When I listened to you, DG, then I got to understand some of the things, but that's why now I said, no, the best thing, let me cut you. So that we focus on this one, and we'll call you in a special meeting so that you can come and give us everything. Because, you see, the minute you said to us, she was the
representative
of corporate services in your department. So we are talking about a person who understands exactly legislation and a person who understands what was her job description in terms of your department. And it's not that we were talking about somebody who was not aware of what the what was happening in the department. So that we come to the gist of the issues and not deal with the issues at face value. It's just unfortunate, Titi. Today I'm using my iPad, and my iPad sometimes, you know, because I'm reading the report. Now I've opened my video, but I can see that you can't see me because there's a report. There's a report here. But I will want us to get to the gist of the matter, deal with all these issues, and the DDG concerned will be invited also in the meeting so that she can be part.
However, Chair, also, can I say something?
Yes.
I'm not sure what she aims to achieve with this process because her matter is governed by the Public Service and Administration, and there's a process that is happening. She refuses to sign the performance contract. She refuses so many things, but then she uses the media. She writes to the Auditor General. She does all those things. So I just wanted to know that the processes of DPSA are going to continue despite the meeting that we're going to have, because there are processes that DPSA has already is already working on. So those processes cannot be interrupted by the fact that she wrote to Parliament.
If I may check, it's a pity that we're going to call you Thursday. We'll check our Thursday afternoon after we have elected the speaker on how if they grant us permission on Thursday, then we'll be calling you on Thursday, DG. So that, you know, we must not burden you with many issues. We'll call you Thursday so that we deal with this matter and we finish with it once and for all.
Thank you.
We'll be afforded an opportunity to present your facts, and she'll be afforded an opportunity also to present a case. And then we'll deal with all the other matters that we have received correspondence regarding the department. And I will want Mandy to send to you all the correspondence that we have received, so that when you come to that meeting on Thursday, we deal with them. We must come prepared.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you.
Okay, DG, you can continue.
Miss Matovela will present quarter one. And then Mr. Mbazima will come in again on HR, and the CFO will come in on finance. Val?
Thank you, DG. We are presenting quarter one performance information. I'll stop sharing and share again. This sharing, it freezes if you don't move it for a while. Okay, it's moving now. Thank you. In quarter one, Chairperson, we had planned 33 targets and 31 targets were achieved, and two of those targets were not achieved. In this presentation, Chairperson, I'm just going to go through the presentation per program so that you can know the achievements per program. And I'm going to focus on the not achieved. In program one, we had four targets planned. Three of those were achieved and one was not achieved. The committee should note that the target that was not achieved is the 100% payment of all valid invoices within 30 days. The department has... Can you close the door? Sorry, I'm working. I apologize for that noise, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Out of 722 invoices which were received, 721 invoices were paid, which then made us not to achieve the 100%. We paid 99.9%. This is one of the areas that continues to be prioritized by the CFO. The reason was due to the fact that one of the invoices, they had to determine the irregularity of that invoice. Once it's resolved, the CFO will make sure that payment is brought up to date. In program two, Chair, the next target, which was not achieved, is in program two. They had nine targets planned, eight were achieved, and one was not achieved. The target that was not achieved is in economic empowerment, is an intervention to support economic empowerment and participation of women. there was a plan to have a radio talk show on economic empowerment, and it required that the show be translated into 11 official languages. So once that is done, the program is going to start doing this work. Chairperson, I'm going to just slide program 3 for the committee to note that they had 11 targets planned and all of those were achieved. Program 4 as well, they had 5 targets and 5 of those were achieved. And program 4, which is youth development, they had 4 targets and 4 of those were achieved. May I please hand over to Ms. Shibiti to present the human resource for quarter 1. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Val. The report for quarter 1 is the new financial year, which is an accrual year first quarter in terms of the positions. Quarter 1 approved post. We have them here, quarter 1, 138. We excluded the GBV secretariat. The field positions were 132. The funded positions were 6. SMS vacancies were 4. And the vacancy rate is 4.3%. The turnover, 1.5. Representation of women is 52.5%. And the representation of people with disabilities is 3.7, and as a result of one person with disabilities who resigned, and employees trained with 5, the signed performance agreements were 92.5% at that time. And then the number of sick leave taken was 5.1, and the average of annual leave is 14.6. Next slide, Van. The status of positions as at 30th June. Yeah, in the next slide, Van. Yeah, the next slide. There was the DDG. Yes, this one. The DDG PFEKM, which by then is subject to restructuring process. And the CD governance, it was advertised and again it was re-advertised. And the media liaison officer, we said it filled at the discretion of the minister. The government information technology officer, like we indicated, was filled from 15 July. And the parliament and cabinet coordination DM's office is at the discretion of DM. And it's since subsequently, I've received a request for the filling of that position yesterday. And the admin officer also in the DDG's office. The budget.
You receive what, Masma?
Chairperson, I've since received the request for the filling of the parliamentary and cabinet coordination at the Deputy Minister's office.
Sorry, Basima, I didn't hear that.
Chairperson, I'm saying for the filling of the post parliamentary and cabinet coordination in the office of the Deputy Minister's office. I have since received a request from her office yesterday, so we'll process it.
We will also want you to respond to the issues on the media regarding the chief director for disability in your department. We'll want you to respond to that also. Gary, over the media. So we'd want to, because we don't have that report as the portfolio committee.
You want the report now? I didn't have anything. Or maybe the report will be prepared through the DG's office for...
For the meeting.
Yes, Thursday's meeting, yes.
Thanks.
And the next slide, Van. the resignations, like I'm saying, for this quarter, there were two resignations that we have. Like I indicated, the 1 year, their right was persons with disability, a resignation. And then the other one was somebody that we appointed also, Aka Corporate Services resigned as well. So the resignations were two. And then next slide, Van.
It's senior position.
No, no, it's lower level position, Chairperson.
Okay.
There were no financial misconduct reported or investigated in the first quarter. No employees were on special leave. No employees went precautionary. One hearing in process in the first quarter, Chairperson. And that matter has since been finalized. And the decision of it, probably in the meeting with the DG on Thursday, DG will give the report. We'll prepare a report for the DG. Achievement and challenges, vacancy rate of 4.3 below annual targets of 10% for this quarter. The appointments were made for the GB Secretariat, the Deputy Directors, the two Deputy Directors, Admin Officer, and the Director, obviously, appointed from 1 July, which will come into the second quarter report. That's why I put an asterisk. And also, we also put the COVID-19 restriction continue to have a debilitating effect on the productivity of the department. The situation is nonetheless returning to the semblance of normality with the implementation of measures to get employees back to the office and to manage remote work arrangements. And regardless, the restrictions continue to have an impact on the utilization and development of the workforce. But we've got, on a fortnightly basis, we've got a COVID-19 steering committee that looks, that assists the DG and advises the DG on the remote work performance of employees. Thanks, Chairperson Val. I'm done.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the status of performance of the department for quarter one, the department spent 17.6% of the allocated 201,201,000 budget. And the entities, we've made transfers in accordance with the projections that are agreed upon between the two entities. And program one spent 22.1%. Social transformation and economic empowerment spent 3.9 million of the 32.8 million allocated. And program three spent 14.3%. Rights to persons with disabilities spent 2 million against 17.3 million and translates to 12.3 million. And lastly, national youth development spent 14.3% of the allocated budget. In terms of the economic classification, spending on compensation of employee as at end of quarter one is at 24.6% of the 111,284,000. On goods and services, the department spent 7.1,195,000, which translates to 8.4% of the total allocation. On transfers and subsidies, 13.5 million spent, and machinery and equipment, the department spent 655,000 and translates to 16.9% of the allocated 3.8 million. On program one, the original appropriation for the program is 98 million with an expenditure of 21 million and it translates 22.1% of the program budget. The underspending in this program is attributable to the following: savings on travel by audit and risk committee members to attend portfolio committee and audit team for traveling to attend professional training due to COVID-19 restrictions. Both engagements were attended online or virtually. Spending linked to audit fees has improved as the department processed invoices amounting to 466,000 received from Auditor General. Property payments are now being paid in the month of invoicing, and there is anticipated savings on on electricity as more officials are working from home on a rotational basis due to COVID-19. On Program 2, the original appropriation in this program is 124.2 million. This allocation includes an amount of 91.4 million earmarked for transfer to CGE. The original allocation for the program excluding CGE is 32.9 million. The operational expenditure incurred up to the month under review is 4 million or 12% of the operational appropriation. The understanding in this program is attributable to the following: COVID-19 lockdown restrictions resulting into physical consultations cancelled and supplemented by virtual sessions, the halting of the establishment of the National Council on GBV in order to firstly establish legislation that is going to regulate the mandate on operations of the committee, resulted in further understanding. First quarter spending on the economic empowerment radio shows has been deferred due to unforeseen circumstances. Spending would most likely take place during quarter two of the current financial year. Presently, UNFPA and UNDOC have covered the spending on consultant costs, and reserves will be ring-fenced for the Council web project. On Program 3, the understanding in the program is attributable to a savings for the first quarter to be used to pay the service provider that will conduct research on the salary disparity in the public service. The process is still in the procurement stage, and it is not certain on the appointment of the service provider, and spending will improve once the SCM is finalized. Chairperson, maybe on issues that you raised during the presentation of quarter four, as well as the issue relating to the appointment of the research on salary disparity, I must indicate that the committee must note that there were challenges nationally with regard to the government bulletin that crashed in the first week of February. Subsequently, in the following week, the National Treasury e-tender portal also crashed, and the department could also not place publish tenders. These are the mandatory sites where departments are required to publish the tenders. This has since been resolved. National Treasury established a new site for publishing of tenders. Officials in the department were trained on the 10th of August 2021, and processes are in place to ensure that all services that require publishing of tenders are published on the new site that has been established by National Treasury. The formative evaluation project has been advertised and is closing on the 27th of August, and the research on salary disparity is closing on the 24th of August, and the economic empowerment index project is in process of being evaluated, and once the evaluation is concluded, it will also be published on this site. We are planning to advertise the standards by the end of this month, according to the plans of the department. On also monitoring and evaluation, the division was in the process of appointing a new service provider to undertake the evaluation and the appointment.
You are appointing a new service provider for what? Aren't you the one responsible for monitoring and evaluation? Are you not the person responsible for that? That's one. Two, I think in the previous meeting, your department reported that you are working with its monitoring and evaluation to assist you with the drafting the tool, if I'm not mistaken. And then when you say you appoint a service provider to do the work that is supposed to be done by yourself, you are earning money for what? Why do you want to appoint a service provider in the work that you must do as an appointed official? Why should government pay, your department pay money to a service provider when you are there as a person who is responsible for monitoring and evaluation? The portfolio committee is not supporting you as the department in appointing external people to do work that is supposed to be done by a person who's employed by government full-time, except in skills that the department don't have. But it's like now, this department is depending on outside service providers to do the work. Why are you doing that? You've been complaining that the money that is allocated in your department is not adequate. But at the same time, you are depleting the very same funds that you have as a department. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense. On the other hand, you come to the portfolio committee, even us, we are saying we are not satisfied in the manner in which money that is appropriated to your department is less. And at the same time, you are the people who are sourcing your work to outside service providers. So what are you aiming for? You are aiming the money that you are earning now as an official, you are earning it for doing what? We must be clear today. You are earning that money to do what? If your work is done by other people from outside, why does the department have an official who does in monitoring and evaluation, and that person is being paid every month, and your department is spending a lot of money in a compensation of employees, and at the same time you appoint other people outside? So why you not create your post once? Well, the Gaguchi, at least that work on behalf of the department is done by outside a service provider. Your department can't even monitor mainstreaming of gender issues in other departments. Because why? The person who's responsible for that val is you. You are the one who is making the department not to monitor all departments and entities of government in terms of gender mainstreaming. You can't even monitor issues of young people, of youth in all the departments. That's why even that unit, your youth in your department is not effective enough. Because why? That unit, the position that you're holding is not effective and efficient. And that unit is the work that they're doing is key for that department. Maybe when meeting yesterday, you need to give us a detailed report on the work that you're doing as a department on issues, the monitoring other departments. Because you see what? From 2019 till to date, there's nothing much that we can report about monitoring and evaluation as the portfolio committee.
as long as Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities in monitoring and evaluation, even the issues of people living with disabilities, we are not going to be sure on what is happening in government. So monitoring and evaluation is a critical and it's a core business. Once you want to outsource core business, things that must be done by yourself. We've been discussing this at the portfolio committee. That's why we are saying, Didi, we will want to give you an opportunity to prepare a detailed report on the work that is done by that DDG. It's supposed to be done by that DDG. A person, there's no way that a person who's earning 1.6 million will be in the department redundant and still get 1.6 million. To do what? That's why I was stopping DG with, no. We need to get to the bottom of this matter and not deal with it at face value. We are getting letters. We are doing oversight. Remember, 1.6 million is not from the DG's pocket, nor the minister's pocket, or the DM's pocket. It's taxpayers' money that every one of us must account, including you, Val. You must account, Uguti. You are earning such a salary. What are you doing when you as a department, you're outsourcing those services? For what? We need a full report. This day, we need a full report. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. On program four, program spent 8.2% of the budget, and the underspending is attributable to the deferral procurement of office stationery, delays in the filling of the chief director position, international and domestic travel that could not take place due to COVID-19 restrictions, the procurement of job software, which was concluded and the service provider was already paid. Officials conducted their duties virtually and no face-to-face workshop or conferences were conducted during the period under review. In program five, the program spent 37.2%. The original appropriation in this program is 483.3 million and the allocation includes 417 million earmarked for transfer to NYDA. The expenditure incurred for the period is 179.8 million. Underspending is due to meetings and stakeholder engagements that were conducted virtually due to COVID-19 restrictions. The UN Ecosoft Youth Forum was held virtually and not in New York, hence there was a saving on both domestic and international travel. The first quarter National Youth Missionary Forum also took place virtually. Most Youth Month activities were held through virtual platforms. All events and meetings, including the first quarter National Youth Missionary Forum, took place virtually and not in contact due to the COVID-19 restrictions. And most officials are working remotely and there are savings on consumables, office supplies, and the transfer to National Youth Development Agency was made in accordance with the National Treasury approved drawings schedule. On the implementation of the audit action plan, Chairperson, the target as at the end of the period was 75%, and the department achieved 80.7%, and five findings were in progress of implementation as at the end of the quarter under review, with four under IT and one in finance. Chairperson, as indicated, the department addressed 80.7% of the findings that were raised during 2019 financial year audit. On an authorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we didn't record unauthorized expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. However, there is one invoice that was recorded as a irregular expenditure, and it relates to a payment made for the provision of printing material for the department that was identified as irregular expenditure after checking the supporting document. The transaction is in relation to 2020 financial year, and it has been referred to internal audit for a determination and investigation. Internal audit made a commitment that the process for this transaction will be concluded by the end of this week. And in terms of the issue that you raised here during the presentation of quarter one on the determination status for the security payments that are irregular, internal audits indicated that the delay was from their side to schedule a meeting with their accounting officer. They've, however, concluded on this matter, and what is outstanding is a report that must be discussed with the DG. And further to this, all the irregular expenditure for 1920 and 1819 financial year, the determination process has also been concluded. This will form part of the discussions of the report with the accounting officer. And the remaining financial year, they've indicated that all the batches have been examined. What is outstanding is to conduct interviews with officials that were involved in the project, Chairperson. And then on the deviations, we have three deviations that were recorded during quarter one relating to the cars and saucers with the Meshalot Manye Matleke branding for the celebration that was held on 22 April, and the installation and activation of the Office of the DG Biometric System, and as well as a specialized training that was requested by the ICT unit for ICT technicians. Those were the only deviations for the period under review. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Val, the deviations, you said you have followed the proper procedures to do them.
Correct, Chairperson, we did.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, you can continue. Oh, you're done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Who's next?
Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
It's me, Chair. I think that was the last presentation of quarter one, 2021-2022 financial year. I would just like to add some of the things before we hand over to the chair for the members to be able to ask questions. I think I needed to clarify the issue of the research capacity. Chair, you'll remember that last year, the last time we presented, I think it was on quarter three, we presented even the comparison between DPME and our department, and we have different responsibilities. Our even though somewhere they are similar, but we also have the responsibility to monitor even outside. We have to cooperate and work with a private sector. We have to work with civil society organizations. And under research, we have three people who do research. And it doesn't mean that they're sitting and not doing research. Some of the research is research that is in the minister's performance agreement. That means it comes from above that you have to achieve this. And some of the research is research that we, within the department, that we are conducting in order to do monitoring and evaluation. We remember we have three units. We have women, we have youth, we have persons with disabilities that you have to monitor. We've been talking about the APPs, which are looking, the monitoring of APPs and strategies that are looking at disability, empowerment of disability. The instruments are a bit different. They're not the same. So you can't just say, I'll do one evaluation and look at all of them. Yes, we have also monitoring, because there's research unit which is also doing international reporting. So they have to collate or get reports from different departments, report internationally, and we look at compliance. We also have M&E unit. M&E unit has, I think, three or four people. Ranji will confirm. Also, they, because we do not even have a system, they do things manually. They do research, they do public education, not public education, training of government officials, national, provincial, and local government. And yet we have four people within that unit who are training on gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, and evaluation, but also having to do the monitoring and evaluation itself. They produce quarterly reports and they have to produce an annual report. The work is a lot. As indicated the last time, that we have 143 positions, and you have one person in some of the positions, just one person, nobody else. And yet DPME, which has even a lesser responsibility than us, it has 400 and something posts, nearly 500. And we've tried, and we are not just complaining and not doing anything. We've tried to relook at the organizational structure, and DPSA and National Treasury, they refuse to give us more posts. We had a meeting last week with them, last week, Tuesday, Wednesday. They told us that when we told them about disability, because I even said at the portfolio committee, always when we go there, they tell us about youth, which doesn't have youth and disability, which do not have enough personnel and money. And they said, the problem is that you want to change them into something else. When they were transferred to your department, they were subunits. So now we are in a conundrum. There's a portfolio committee that says, we want this. And National Treasury says, no, you can't get it. So those are some of the challenges. We are structured and resourced to face, and we have a lot of work. But despite that, Chair, we are trying. You saw that with quarter one report, we have achieved 96%. And we have not yet even outsourced the resource. The resource that we're outsourcing is a resource that is going to be big and need a lot of time and a lot of resources. That means if as a department we're going to do the research on pay gap, the three resources that we have will have to focus on that to collect all the information, to analyze and to do all those things. So in order to ensure that we achieve at all levels, so that is what we are doing. And when you look at the compensation of consultants, I know that you have a serious problem with that, Chair. However, I had, after the last meeting we had with you, and we were complaining that we are using 16 million for consultants, I had to go back to the department and say, can you account, because I don't know about those consultants. And they've broken down what this refers to. Let me just give you an example. We, as a country, we pay the Commonwealth 1.7 million every year. That amount is captured under consultants. Translation, a sign language for disability, we're spending about three point something million. And that is not enough, because we're doing sign language only. And as a country, as a department, we also have to do sign, like lip reading. We have to translate some of the policies and whatever into voice. We have to do braille. that is going to increase their budget on consultants. It when we do all that, it just there can go even up to 10 million. Just that because of time, I won't go through all of it, but they've broken it down to SAQA, competence assessment, risk, the audit committee and others, what we are paying for. That's why it comes into that. And the gender-based violence secretariat. So, Chair, we are trying our level best. And I think one day we'll be able to present to you not just about the quarter where we talk about personnel coming to report on the quarter performance. Next time, if you call us, we'll come and present in terms of who does what. You'll see that we are doing a lot. And even myself as a DG, unlike other government departments, I do work. I write concept documents because I see that we do not have people and we do not have enough people. Thank you, Chair.
Apologies, members. The chairperson is just experiencing connectivity problems, but we are trying to assist the chair now.
Thank you very much, Mandy. Thank you very much, colleague. Can I just take the chair?
Yes. Yes, Masiko, take the chair to assist the chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, host, and sorry about that, colleagues. I was taking the call from the chairperson and I was trying to unmute my mic. I could not do it. The chairperson is experiencing some challenges. She got cut, her connection got cut. She's trying to reconnect, but she's not being successful. She has requested that we proceed with the meeting.
I'm going to give you the phone now. I just want to do something.
Can the committee on multi-party women's caucus, I'm not sure, is that Mandy, please mute your mic. Thank you. So, DG, was that the last presentation?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, DG, and thank you as well to the DM for the introductory remarks for the presentations. Thank you to your team. Colleagues, I will now recognize hands that will engage the presentations. The first hand is Honorable Sharif, followed by Honorable Masondo, and then it will be Honorable Ngobo, in that order.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Good afternoon to Honorable members and to the department. Honorable Masiko, I'm going to start with the responses to the Portfolio Committee that the department had sent. And the reason I'm doing this is because it does work into the quarter four and then the quarter one report. So that's where I'm going to start, just to give the department an indication. In terms of the strat plan, you wrote that if planning, if the planning docs are being reviewed, so they speak about how the DPME, Treasury and AXA has said that they shouldn't be changing their plans because that will limit the way that we, in fact, are able to hold them accountable and measure their performance. So I wanted to find out from the department, have they gone with that recommendation or not? And then in terms of what the DG spoke about, the justification for consultations, I personally don't think that it's enough. For example, number one, a report writer. What is a report writer? And why do we need to get a consultant to write reports for the committee, for the department, when we have staff that should be able to do this? In terms of the senior management services, the SMS candidates, what does this mean? Is this a competency assessment? Is it a system? Is it like a strength-based test that they have to pay for? Or is this interviews and recruitment done by an outside agent? In terms of health risk management, again, what does this mean? Does the department not have HR who deals with workplace health restrictions and so forth? And then organizational strat planning. Can we please understand what is that? Why do you need a consultant? Why do you have to pay money for somebody outside to come and help you with putting together an organizational strategy plan? So perhaps I can find some more information on that. In terms of the slides, that the presentation of the responses, slide 13, what does it mean? When you speak about the administration aspect, you speak about how, you're almost forced to have a bigger staff complement because you were told by who. What is the policy that directs you? What is the legislation that says that you have to have X amount of staff and X amount of remuneration in administration program one? Because you didn't give that to us. You just said, this is what we have to do, but there's no real clarity given there. Also, I'd like to find out 13 staff members in the minister's office. That seems pretty excessive. If maybe we can get some information on who they are, what they do, and what the remuneration is. In fact, it's the most staff complement. You have the deputy minister of 6, and you have the office of the DG at 7. So we just need to know who they are, what they're doing, and what the remuneration looks like there. In terms of slide 16, I honestly, we cannot use COVID as an excuse anymore. And I think as a committee, we need to draw the line in the sand. We've adapted as parliament. We've adapted in our political parties. Businesses have adapted. Small businesses, big businesses, restaurants, all of these places have adapted. And so for the department to come back and still say, oh, COVID-19, we still have these struggles, is unacceptable, in my view, because we've had almost over a year to ensure that we get things and processes done. Now, in terms of the current staff, speaking about the lack of capacitation, what is the department doing to utilize the current staff that you have now, so that we can fill the gaps, the missing gaps? Because it's always easy to say we need to go and find people to come and do this job, but what are we doing to capacitate and utilize the current staff that we have in the department? I'd like to know what the status is on the framework of socioeconomic empowerment index. And can the department give info on women, youth, and persons with disability businesses that were impacted by the looting and rioting in KZN and GB? So what has the impact been? Surely the department has the information already. Surely the department is able to speak to the NYDA because they already have this information. So it's not like you're going to find new information. You already have it, or you should already have it. So it should be easy for you to pull it up and come and report to us. What has the impact been, and what has the department's response been, given that many youth, many women, and many persons with disabilities, their businesses were impacted, and we would like to know what have you been doing to assist. In terms of GBVF, I'd like to know how much the appointment of the technical support team cost. What is the costing there? Because we didn't get it. And what exactly is the role of the PSC? And how long is the employment contract? So I know that you said that it was March 2021. So I just like more information on that. And then I'm a little bit confused about the NSP on GBVF monitoring and evaluation framework. Now, when reading it quarter four, it says it hasn't been approved, or it has been approved. And then quarter one, it was approved. And then in your responses, you say that you're using this framework to monitor departments and their implementation of the NSP. So it's a little bit confusing because you're saying you have it in draft. Well, you didn't have it in draft. Now you have it in draft, but you have been using it to monitor and evaluate departments. So what's the actual status of this MME framework? And where is it? Because we haven't seen it as the committee. And so I would like to request a proof of evidence that it has been completed, because it's one thing to take your word for it, and it's another thing to show that you've done it. So I would request that all these frameworks that have been completed be sent to the committee, be presented to the committee, so that we can see what it is. Moving on to quarter four, let's start with the irregular expenditure and deviations. Okay, I need some clarity here, because I Googled your billboards, and it's three different companies that you had contracted. And please correct me if I'm wrong. And so how was this a single source? Because when I did a simple Google search, there is more than three companies that do billboards. And so the explanation of a single source supplier to me is not correct. So perhaps some more information must be given there. Also, more information on Sugar Creek Trading, but I'll come into more of that, and the printers, Shubino printers, because the time that it was approved, no reports were tabled to the committee. So maybe we can get some explanation on that. Then the shift of 985K from goods and services to the GBVF secretariat, this was done between quarter three and quarter four. But then you say there's underspending, because the council was not put together. But yet you were approved for the shift of money to go to the GBVF secretariat. So what happened to that money, and how is it being spent? Can we have more information on that? I'd like an update on the legislation of the National Council of GBVF and what the progress is of that, and the GBVF secretariat, and the task team. So, you know, it's like almost like the department comes, gives us lots of words, blah, blah, this, 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 and this. And then when we actually look into it, a lot of the things seem like it's a repeat, but I'm hoping that the department can give more clarities. In terms of the NSP priorities, which departments have you monitored? Which departments have given their reports, and what is the content of that? Again, the GBVF NSP MME, we need to see it, and when was it approved, or is it still in draft? That's what's interesting. In terms of the GBVF prevention strategy, I'm concerned at the delays around it. And in fact, I'm not even sure what the strategy is, because the last time you came to us, you told us you're busy with the communication aspect, which will form a bigger part of the prevention strategy. I just want to quickly go back to find more of my notes, because I've got notes everywhere, so please do be patient with me. Also, why did you use a service provider for the prevention strategy, and what is the cost of this? Why is it not being done locally? Why are you going to the UN, and I think it was Germany's or something like that? Why are you going there to help you put this together when we have so many expertise in the country who deal specifically with issues of GBVF in South Africa? And in South Africa, we have a very, interesting and complex history when it comes to violence. And so I'm just a little bit curious why you couldn't use locally sourced expertise to help you put this together, when the National Strategic Plan was put together by community organizations and NPOs that deal with GBVF every day. And the NXP is a really good document, so it doesn't make sense why you would outsource assistance for this. When will this prevention strategy come to committee? And how was it consulted? How did you consult? How was public participation? How did that happen? Quickly, all the research reports in Program 3 that the department has achieved or they said they have needs to come to the committee. It needs to come to the committee. I don't understand why the committee is always left in the dark when it comes to things like this, because it is us who needs to speak to our constituencies, you know, who they hold us accountable. So if we don't even know what's happening in the committee, how do we then report that to our constituencies? Sorry, Chair, I just have a little bit more. I also wanted to find out, we had asked the department for the progress that has been done on the costing of the NSP. Has that been done? Because it has not come back to committee. Now, in terms of Sugar Creek trading, this is an interesting one because you say you're spending 15 million deviation. That's a whole lot of money. How is that even approved? Deviate. And then when you go back, you know, even before I sat on this committee, when you go back and you look at the reports that, you know, previous committees, the fourth term and the fifth term, you know, it's obvious that the problem was the fixed contract for the office space. And the issue was you couldn't get out of it because it was fixed. And now when your contracts come to an end, you extend it. It doesn't make any sense. So perhaps you can give some more information, and the leases between Sugar Creek Trading and Public Works and not with your department. So why are you doing, why are you extending it? So that's what I want to find out. In terms of quarter one, budget concerns, the 16.4 million on consultants, hectic, should not be okay. Need to relook at it. In terms of underspending, I think I spoke about that with the secretariat and the money moving. What was the unforeseen circumstances in regards to the empowerment radio spending? I imagine it's the translation of languages. So if that's correct, you don't have to answer it. Service providers for research, problem number one. If this department was to be a regulatory department and that works on M&E and puts together reports and concept papers, as the DG was saying, then why are you getting service providers to do the research for you? Doesn't make sense to me. So I'll give you an example. The gender pay gap report, you said that it was an achievement in quarter four, and then in quarter one, you say that you're waiting for a service provider to be appointed. Please clarify. Please clarify that. How is it an achievement when you're still waiting for a service provider? Doesn't make sense. And then the deviations, DG, please explain to me, and perhaps, you know, I don't understand the necessity of almost 10,000 Rand for cups and saucers. It's a lot of money, and perhaps I want to find out, you know, were these cups personalized? And you know, were they gifted? Were they used as gifts? And how many cups were printed? How many cups and saucers were printed to the value of 10,000 Rand? You know, because we're in the midst of COVID, the third wave has come. There has been no in-person conferences. There has been no in-person meetings. I mean, our portfolio committee has not met since, early 2020? If that, perhaps late 2019, we haven't met in person. So I don't understand 10,000 rands of cups and sources. It just doesn't make sense to me. And perhaps I can get more clarity on this. And, you know, you can think as the department and government, you know, we spend millions and millions. 10,000 rand may seem like a drop in the ocean. But if you look at 10,000 rand on a continuous basis, it adds up. And so I'm not convinced of the justification to spend almost 10,000 rand on cups and saucers. And I wonder what South African women who are in need of assistance would think about the department spending 10,000 rand on cups and saucers. In terms of the wage bill, you reported it in quarter four, nothing in quarter one. Can we understand what's happening there and progress in terms of that? In terms of the NSP being monitored and implemented by the department, it says the target is reached, but which three departments were monitored and evaluated? Can we get information on this? And what tool were they being used to be monitored and evaluated? Again, are you using the draft NSP M&E framework, or do you have something else? So some clarity would be good on this. So from what I read, the secretariat has been concluded. So I want to find out, on the 1st of July, was the director appointed? If so, if not, why not? Okay, so how, in terms of program, how does the department determine when a service provider is needed? So do you look internally and say, you know what, we don't have capacity or expertise on gender pay gap. We need to now go out and find it. What determines this? And how do you come to that conclusion? I'm almost done. You see, the thing is, the department sends us so much information that it takes us a very long time to go through the information, and that's why I spend a lot of time asking questions, and I hope that all my questions is answered, because it's not always answered. Okay, so in terms of the NSP again, what is the contents of the biannual report and how is it accessible? Because I have not seen it. If other members of the committee have seen it, please send it to me, because me, I have not. And I would like to actually see it so that we can also do some oversight on these other departments. Remember, our committee cuts across all departments. So any department that deals with GBVF, any department that deals with youth, persons with disabilities, women, we have the right to do oversight on them. So if the department is not giving us the information, we can't do our work. So we need those reports. And again, I've said this, DG, and I'm sure you will remember me saying it. It's one thing to do the report and you have it as a department, and the IMC has it and the president's office has it. It's another thing to bring it to committee so that we can engage on the content, so that we can assist where we can and give information where we can to our constituencies. Okay. Back to the GBV prevention stress. So, again, why did you use the service provider? What is the cost? Okay, cool. We did all of that. So DG, maybe you can help me with the with information on the GBVF committee, the interim GBVF committee, the GBVF secretariat, and the technical task team. Is it three separate components? Is it two components? Is it one component? Can you just give me clarity on that? Since the council has not yet been finalized because you're still waiting on the legislation, that I understand. You then speak about a private members vote. Please give me more information on that, because I don't understand how the department or the executive can put together a private members vote. When I read through the rules of parliament, of the joint rules, it says that an MP or a member of the NCOP can do a private members bill. It doesn't necessarily speak on my department and on all the executives. So maybe you can give me some more information on this. The 3.6 million unspent that was rolled over, can we have some more information on that? And the departments monitored on the NSP implementation. How many total departments are meant to incorporate the NSP in APPs, apart from the 13 that you speak about in your APP? Now, which of these 13 departments have already integrated the NSP? How is this monitored? And how is it being monitored if the M&E is still in draft form? And then which three departments have been monitored in quarter one? We need to know which departments is. What have they said? What are your findings and what are your recommendations moving forward? Now, again, I'm confused. You have a GBVF M&E system, right? And then you have a NSP or GBVF M&E system. Are they two separate things? Are they one thing? How is it working? Clarity there, please, so I can understand. Again, when will both of them be presented to the committee and when will it be finalized? Last one, the rapid response teams. You know, give me clarity on the department's role, because the department continuously comes to us and says, we're not a service delivery department. We do not do implementation. We're now going to be doing regulatory work. So how are you able to implement RTTs when you are not a service provider? So give me an understanding on that, on your role in terms of RTTs, how it's set up and why you chose, I think it's Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, KZN, why you chose those two those two promises to start the RCT is what informed your decision. Honorable Masikal, I'll end there, and hopefully if there's more time, I can come back. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif. I'm worried about you coming back because you've actually asked almost everything that one wanted to engage on. And I'm hoping, Honorable Sharif, that and also DG and DM, that you've correctly captured the questions that Honorable Sharif has asked. We do really want all of those questions to be answered too. The next engagement will come from Honorable Masondo. I see that we had recognized Honorable Ngobo, but I don't see him on the platform. Honorable Masondo, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. Good afternoon, the Department, all protocol observed, Deputy Minister. Yes, Honorable Sharif has touched so many questions, but I still have some. How has the department progressed in terms of it addressing MTSF priorities for the 2020-2021 financial year? Based on the department activities undertaken for 2020-2021, what progress can it be reported on in terms of SDGs and Agenda 2063 priorities that relate to women, youth, and persons with disabilities? Were the 8 unmet targets from quarter 3 met in quarter 4? If not, why not? What are the implications of the 6 unmet targets from quarter 4 of 2020-2021 financial year? Overall, how many targets were not met for the 2020-2021 financial year? I heard that in the ICT we have appointed, but still my question is standing, that what ICT challenges, if any, has the department addressed since 16 February 2021? Have all challenges been addressed? What progress has been made in the delivery of sanitary products to girls via the Sanitary Dignity Program by the end of quarter 4? In quarter 3, 87% of strategic risk management was implemented. What was progress in quarter 4? Which of the strategic risks were not addressed and why? What were the strategic risks for quarter 4 of 2020-2021? What were the strategic risks for quarter 1 of 2021-2022? Why was no training and development of SCM staff undertaking in quarter 4? Was the annual audit review of leave files done in quarter 4? You will pardon me, Chairperson, because these questions were not mentioned, but I had them in my mind. To leave files done in quarter 4? If not, why not? Was an information security plan developed in quarter 4? If not, why not? Was quality assurance of service providers connected in quarter 4? If not, why not? Was quality assurance on third parties performed in quarter 4? If not, why not? Let me end there, Chairperson, so that I can give Honorable another chance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo, and also thank you for capturing those questions as well that were not asked by Honorable Sharif. I will then hand over to Umamuhlengwa to also engage on the presentation. I see that Chairperson has not been able to join the meeting. Over to you, Ma'am Tlengwa.
Thank you, Honorable Maseko. Let me welcome the report. And I have only 2 questions from the team. In terms of program 2, they have targeted 8 targets and 2 were not achieved. When are we expecting to be achieved so that they will come? When are they come to us and say, this, we have achieved these 2? In terms of NYD, one will need clarity, because there are money spent there. Who are the beneficiaries of this NYD, and that money was spent? We need a detailed report on that. Another one, we need a clear understanding of the abbreviation. For instance, NCGBVF, we need that a full name and then abbreviation, so that when we go out there and educate our constituency, we give them a full detail what this means. And there is, again, 2 targets were not achieved, yet the payment were 100%. Who are those who not achieved? Who are those that paid 100%? We need clarity, because sometimes we don't understand. That's why I need clarity on that, because there are 2 targets were not achieved, and at the same time there is 100% payment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Sengwa. DM and DG and the entire team.
He was going to ask some questions on program 4 around persons with disabilities. So because he's left, I was just wondering if I could just ask 1 or 2 questions that he asked me to ask on his behalf.
You may go ahead, Member Sharif.
Thank you very much. In terms of rights for persons with disabilities, it's a big concern for us, the underspending that continues to happen in this program. You told us the reason was because of capacitation. Capacitation has now happened. We're still seeing an underspending. This is a big concern, and I think we need to get some more information on it. In terms of the frameworks, there's a lot of frameworks. There's a lot of reports. In fact, I feel like this program is focused solely on frameworks and reports. And I want to know, what are the updates on these, on some of these frameworks and some of these reports? I'll give you some examples quickly. Speaking about the framework on disability rights awareness campaign, as well as self-representation, to speak about the status report on the disability inclusion in the strat plans, what is the update on that? How is that going? And then, Honorable Masiko, I just want to make a point to the DG. You know, DG, when you speak about consultants in terms of persons with disabilities, Braille, sign language, and so forth, it's a little bit concerning that your department does not have persons with disabilities employed. Because
why,
this could be
when we ask questions, continue, Sharif. Thank you, Masiko. I'm in now.
Thank you. I feel like there's a great opportunity to employ persons with disabilities that can assist you with sign, with Braille, that, and you don't have to go outside and outsource it from a service provider, like you had said, DG, speaking about the 3 million going up to 10 million rand for that service. It doesn't make any sense to me when your department could look at, you know, increasing your capacity and employing persons with disabilities to assist you in things like this. Because Braille and sign language, for example, is a continuous thing. It's not just for 1 quarter or a month or 2 months. It has to be a continuous process and a continuous, program of action that you're doing. And so the fact that you don't have staff is concerning, and perhaps I would like to recommend that you look into it so that you can save money on consultants and use that money where it actually matters, where people can see a change in society and in their lives. Because just being a department up here and not being able to feel the work that you're doing is unacceptable. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe also to add on that one, because the DM is also responsible for the issues of disabilities. Maybe a DM can also share with us in according to the pay responsibilities on what maybe can she share with us on what exactly is happening under the disability unit, because we are not satisfied.
Tell that guy to close the door, because I don't know why they are working when I'm in the meeting.
My apologies. I'm in Cape Town, so they are fixing the house ceiling. So they are disturbing me. DM, maybe you can also share with us, because looking at the report and the performance of the department in relation to issues of disabled people, truly speaking, the department, you are underperforming. So we would like to hear your political wisdom with regards to that, because it can be correct that you are a department of that is responsible for people living with disability. And then there are things like that. Maybe if you can also share with us, so that we can understand on what exactly is happening in your department, whether you are taking issues of disabled people serious or you are not. I'm not sure. I just wanted to add on what Honorable Sharif was raising in relation to the issues of disabled people. Honorable Masiko, I'm not sure if you were done with the presentation.
We were done, Honorable Chairperson. We were about to hand over to the department for the responses.
Okay, over to you, DM and DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. And maybe I should just respond to two questions. The one raised by Honorable Sharif, and the rest, the DG will have to give much more detail. There was an issue about staffing in the ministry. Just in brief, I suppose with the coming meetings that the chair on behalf of the committee has raised, has suggested, there could be a detailed discussions, but the guidance comes from a ministerial handbook, the revised one. So working in consultation with the Public Service Commission, that's when staffing issues are handled. But we'll continue looking at it, since the honorable members have raised it. From Honorable Sharif, there was a concern about the kind of legislation we are following. She mentioned the private members' bills. I think there was a time when, as the department, we were going that way. But in consultation with the public, it became clear that the legislation on the establishment of the council, given its importance in terms of its roles and responsibilities, and the financing of such a top priority for a country, we will be depriving the public and an opportunity to participate. So, honorable members, we are no longer going that route. I suppose if we didn't clearly report on where we are now, we will have to do that. But basically, the legislation is following normal procedures of consultations. Already it has been with two committees, and clearly the legislation will be in Parliament during this year. So we are going to come up with the council as soon as possible. I thought it's just important to talk to that. The other point which has been raised by the chair, the question of the rights of persons with disabilities. I think the question really is saying to us, what impact are we making on the ground? How are we touching the real lives of people? I must say, as a department, I think the last time we reported that there has been a strategic planning which was helping the department to be able to locate persons with disabilities, the rights of persons with disabilities, as an integral part of the department. Because the tendency before that was that colleagues dealing with APPs on the economy will have even a webinar and leave out completely persons with disability. So streamlining issues of persons with disability is now a priority. I think as of today, there's no program, even if it's an economy program that is discussed with the public, which still talk only to women. There's a concerted effort to make sure that all the time we present the department as having those three aspects: persons with disabilities, youth, and women. So that's where we are. I mean, Honorable Chair, also a lot is being done. The DG will determine whether the Chief Director can make more input. They've worked very hard within the sector. I don't know whether they reported adequately. Remember, the sector has got too many associations and organizations, but what the reports I get and engagements is that they've worked with virtually all of them, and there's general acceptance of their work. And the Presidential Advisory Committee meets with them on a regular basis and agree on priorities, on workshops to be done, on how to shape the month. So on the whole, I think we are stepping up an effort so that persons with disabilities is not a stepchild of the department. I mean, even issues of education. As far as I know, there is a planned workshop with the Department of Education. We were just saying with the last week's consultation that maybe given opportunities that are there for persons with disabilities, we have to look at a special workshop with basic education, which will deal with access to education quite early. And then also with higher education, because there it talks to support they get at that level, the use of technology to make sure that the access is not a problem. So there has been progress, Honorable Chairperson. We will look at whatever the quality of reporting and really engage further. I'm sure the DG will engage even with some of the concerns that we have an opportunity to employ persons with disability so that they provide services. Of course, it means reworking on the structure and budgeting differently and so on. And that will be a due process which we'll have to bring before the committee. Thank you so much. The DG Chairperson and honorable members will assist with as many questions as possible that are here. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. I hope you can see me. I can't see myself on my desktop. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members, for the questions. The questions were so many, and some of them, I think the answers might not be as many as the questions, because some of the questions were repeating some of the questions that were said or were similar to the questions, but they were different. So I have officials from the department who will be responding to some of the questions, my analysis of the questions. DDG Shoki will be responding, Mbazima will be responding, CFO will be responding, Ranji will be responding, and we have a Jito here, Malebu, who's our IT director. She will respond to the challenges or what has been done up to date and what are the challenges with our IT system. But let me at least start by responding to some of the issues that have been raised. On the impact of from KZN, impact on women from KZN, the department is part of the social impact Westream. DDG Shoki will respond to that. It's led by us, but there are different departments, the social development and the arts and culture, and there are other departments that are in that Westream, which is looking at responding to the crisis that was in KZN and in some other areas here. On the issues of the slides on HR and the consultants in terms of the health practitioners, Mbazima will respond to that. On the issue of the single source supplier, government works differently. As the department, we can't go to Google and search suppliers. Suppliers are searched from the CSD, is the system where people, businesses register with government, and government sources those suppliers there. So if in the CSD there's one supplier, you can't go out and look for a supplier somewhere. So that is the challenge that we have. The underspending on the establishment of the council, there was a question that we presented last year that the council was established. And then, or it was not established, there were challenges. And now we're talking about the secretariat. I just want to explain, we did present to the portfolio committee last year about the NSP and the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. The cabinet committee in the beginning of 2020, January 2020, had recommended that the department should not implement the trust as a legislative institution, but that it must establish it as a trust like SANEC. And that we reported at the portfolio committee last year that it has seemed to be a challenge because National Treasury and DPSA refused to give us approval. You can't, as a department, you can't go and register a trust with them, with Master without a letter from DPSA and a letter from National Treasury that approves that you must establish a trust. That's how we failed. I think ever since I arrived in August, we couldn't establish it and we were supposed to fast track it because of the challenge of gender-based violence that we have in South Africa. Then when we realized that we are failing, then we thought maybe this should be either a private member's bill or a committee member bill, because that is how we will fast track it, because in the process, the process within government, because of bureaucracy or all those red tapes, we can't proceed. Then we were informed that you cannot do that because there has to be consultation with the public from inside and table it properly to Parliament, and Parliament will also do its further consultation. Then in December, we then started with the legislation to develop the legislation. We have a draft bill, which we has gone through consultation with the working committees within government. Now it is going to the DG clusters. From the DG clusters, it will go to cabinet for approval to consult with the public. After consultation with the public, when we get input, then it will come back, we'll take it back to the state advisor and then again to cabinet, and it will go through the processes that go again through the DG clusters and all those. Then when it goes to cabinet, it will be approved to come to parliament. However, in the process, when National Treasury and DPSA were refusing to give us letters, they said, you can't establish a trust. Meanwhile, you are developing legislation, we can create an interim a secretariat for you so that you can appoint the people that the National Treasury had ring-fenced the money for, so that they can continue doing the work, coordinating with civil society organizations, coordinating with provinces, a local government and all those. So that is the secretariat that we're talking about. So whilst in the process, because National Treasury had ring-fenced money before August, before I even arrived in the department, there was already a 5 million that was sitting for the establishment of the council. That money couldn't be used because there was that struggle between us and National Treasury and DPSA in terms of establishing a trust. So then when they established an interim secretariat, that's when, because the money that was ring-fenced was for programs only. It didn't have a money for appointment of personnel. Then we had to then apply to National Treasury so that some of the money be removed from goods to personnel so that those people can be appointed in the meantime, that they can be able to do the work. So that's where I don't think there's a confusion. It's very clear in terms of how the money was used, but it was already in January. So obvious there will be an under expenditure because that money couldn't be used for anything else. The National Treasury had ring-fenced it for the council, so we couldn't use it as a department. That's why we have an under expenditure there. On GIZ and UN Women, DDG Shoki will respond, but I wanted to indicate that GIZ and UN Women are developmental partners. So they do not do the work themselves. As we always say by the department, that this department is under-resourced. This department is under-resourced. I'm not sure what is the understanding of the members that they think we have many people. I indicated some other time that the portfolio committee must call us or even appoint a person who will come and do an evaluation of what people are doing in order for us to be on the same page. GIZ assists us with resources. The people who are appointed to do the work most of the time is people within the country. We can't go and appoint people from Germany. They assist us with the resources. That is money that our department our government is not giving us. And on the issue of Sugar Creek, they will still respond on that, but I want to respond on the matters of principle. all government departments, their buildings are procured by DPWI. However, we pay. We are the ones who are paying. That is why we come into the picture. And the amount or whether a building is very expensive or whatever, we have nothing to do with that. It's the public works that procures the departments. And sometimes we ourselves also question that. So I think maybe the portfolio committee should also call the public, the Department of Public Works and investment to respond to some of the issues that as a department we can respond to. And the issues of the issue of 10,000 rents for caps and sources. The caps were on Charlotte Maxeke. They have a branding of Charlotte Manyi Maxeke, the one that were commemorating the 150 years of her life. I know that her life, she passed on long ago, but it's 100, we're celebrating 150th, and also as the first black female graduate in South Africa, there's a lot that we're celebrating. That is why I think it is expensive to use her name and her pictures. On the issue of the wage bill, I think Parliament will remember, the Portfolio Committee will remember that last year we presented on the legislation that have been pulled back because a government office, the leader of government office had decided that government should prioritize and push one legislation, all other legislation must be held back. And as a department, we pushed forward the amendment of the NYDA because of, yes, I know you're saying you're tired of COVID-19, but it's a reality that is impacting on us. So hence, we couldn't go ahead with that bill. Even this year, there was another communication which said no new legislation will be entertained because of the local government elections. So that's why we couldn't push it. We're working on the wage bill, but in terms of it going through the processes of coming to Parliament will be a process that will come next year because we are bound by the instructions that come from government office. I think I've responded to the questions that I wanted to respond to. I'll request Mbazima to respond specifically on certain questions that were specific to HR. And after him, it will be DDG Shoki. After DDG Shoki, it will be Ranji. I won't call you again. I hope you are hearing me. And then after Ranji, it will be CFO, and then Val can come in. Puti on disability, and then Val can come in at the end. Thank you very much. Mbazima.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Chairperson, and committee members and our deputy minister and colleagues. The questions that sent to us, the SMS candidates, whether that money that was spent was for competency assessment or not. Yes, it's for competency assessment. The money that we spend and is classified as consultants. And the second part was the health risk manager. What does it mean? I mean, the payment is to SOMA Initiative. It's a service provider appointed by DPSA. And then we're paying for the headcount. As long as we've got an employee, we pay for the head count at the health risk manager so that when
Mr. Chibiti. Chair, can we please request everybody to put their videos on so I can see who's giving us the presentation?
I'm not so sure whether you can see me.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Then health risk manager, the SOMA initiative is a service provider appointed by DPSA and for the whole public service. And as long as you appoint any employee in public service, the head count, there is a portion of amount that we are paid every month. And the whole idea is when the person applies for the policy leave, once you have exhausted your 36 leave days,
then you apply under the health risk manager that we're talking about. So that money is classified as ERP consultants. So that's how it's classified in terms of that. So it's the headcount in the department. That's what it's for, the SOMA initiative. And the process is done by GPSA. We don't have control over it. It's done electronically through PESAL, Aga National Treasure. And the admin component that you said, we have appointed a lot of people in admin component. And unfortunately, admin component on its own is a result, a configuration of administration and support functions across the public service, because they are dealing with the compliance and regulatory burden that is also placed on departments. Whether it's a big department, it's a medium department, or a small department, like they always say. So regardless of their size, we are required to provide exactly the same administrative support services and meet the same compliance and regulatory requirements, like I indicated, whether you are large, medium, or small. And DPSA, I mean, the discussion between DPSA and National Treasury and the OD practitioners, I know it's ongoing. There's a proposal that they've made on the table now for the bigger, medium, and small departments. But they still have to quantify the minimum number of posts that will be required when establishing that. So administration in its own is decided by DPSA and National Treasury, because there are a lot of compliance issues that we have to look at it. Well, in terms of the certain staff members, in the ministry, I think the deputy minister explained that it's guided by the ministerial handbook. And then in terms of the why can't we utilize the current staff in particular, the current staff, as we're saying, of course, a reference was also made to slide number 16. The current staff members in the department, they are overstretched. We can give you an example, your supply chain management. Like normally we say, you have got the director and clerks there. You don't have quite number of positions. And it's a compliant unit. I mean, unit. The AG at one stage will come to say, in terms of segregation of duties. And same applies to your IT. Before we appointed the director, we had that audit finding to say you should appoint a lot of people. But because of the reduction in your compensation of employees budget, you can appoint people. But we rely on the one that current employees are fully utilized where coming. Gigi has already responded in terms of your office accommodation, your Sugar Creek extension, and she explained correctly to say office accommodation is a project, is your public works. Those are the ones that advertise. Those are the ones that will allocate, they sign the contract, the lease agreement, and everything for the client department. I think DG has responded well to say if portfolio committee mates can make follow up with DPW. The director at GBV, of course, we indicated started working on the 1st of July, like we indicated. The ICT, I think Malebo will look into that. And then the other question was, why no training of SCM in quarter four was not done? It was, I think, CFO at the later stage. I'm not so sure whether she responded, but it was a question at the service providers that we couldn't get them. But eventually, after this current financial year, training has been prioritized for all units now. I think training from where I'm speaking now, it's happening now. Employing of, there was a question about employing persons with disability. Justice with the brain. Well, the appointment of persons with disability, currently we have them. For instance, we have got two employees that are blind, but in terms of the brain, it's a service provider that we always get their tools of trade, their software that they are using, and CFO has indicated that before them. But like we indicated time and again, the 10 million that was a reduction in the compensation of employee budget. It has an impact in terms of appointing, but well, up to this point in time, we can't appoint because we don't have budget, we don't have positions. Currently, like DG indicated earlier, we're in discussion with DPSA and National Treasury in terms of getting at least the bare minimum organizational structure of the department moving forward. Hopefully, some sort of funding from 2023 moving forward, we can get
get that funding. I think in terms of the questions that were directed for me, DG, I'm done with them. Thanks, Chairperson.
DG Stoki, I said you must
have coming in. Yes, DG. I was just trying to open the camera. Most of the questions have been responded to by the DG. DG responded to the issue of legislation and to the issue around the GBV secretariat. So I will not talk to that. But in terms of what is the status of the socioeconomic empowerment index, I need to indicate that the specifications were drafted and they are awaiting to be advertised within the department through the supply chain management committee.
This is Shoki.
Chair.
I'm sure I heard partly of what the DG was saying regarding the GBV issues, but there was an issue of a budget allocated for GBV, which I want to read my notes. Let me go get to my notes so that I can tell you exactly. Maybe what we want to know is that DG was saying due to some difficulties that you were not able to establish a council according to the recommendations and the decisions that we made together at the portfolio committee. You remember we agreed with you. Shoki, you are clear?
Yes, I'm listening, Chair.
Ngibona kuso kumnyama laptop yami, and I understand what sometimes what's going on.
No, Chair, it does this to all of us. Even mine is black.
Oh, hesh, mangile kuthi manje or sengiphumile meeting in of what? I remember that the portfolio committee was supposed to be the one who has to table the private members bill on that issue of a council. And then later on, DG, as you were saying when you were responding to Honorable Sheriff, that now you are busy with the bill that will be tabled at Parliament so that we deal with the issue of establishment of the council. But there is a secretariat that has been appointed, if I heard you well. Shoki, did she say there's a secretariat that has been appointed to deal with the issues? The local.
If I may come in, yes. So that I respond to that one. DPSA and National Treasury, when they refused us.
As a trust,
then they said you can appoint three or four people who will constitute a secretariat. You can't hear me, Chair? Sure. Can't you hear me, Chair? Am I?
The DG is on the platform and she's trying to explain
issue.
That she is on the platform. If you could afford her the opportunity to just talk you through the entire process, how we got to the point where we are at today.
Okay.
Well, yes, Chair. As I said, that when they refused us establishing it as a trust, then they said develop legislation so that you can follow legislation.
And then they said, in the meantime, because the work of the council has to continue because there was that 5 million earmarked for the council, we will allow you just to establish a secretariat under the department. So, and then that's how the director, two deputy director and administration came in. And that's how we even had to apply to National Treasury for the money to be transferred, certain money for salaries to be transferred from goods to salaries, because they had earmarked only money for goods and not for salaries. So then, yes, there was a process where, because we wanted to fast track this legislation, because there is a challenge of coordination between government and civil society. So what we did then, we appointed this secretariat so that it starts coordinating the work of the council. Oh. However, now that is about the council, but about the legislation, then we were told that government must do the entire process. This is the only legislation that will be allowed to go through the processes in government so that you can table it in parliament. And we were even given the time frame that it must be tabled in parliament before the elections. So that's how fast it has to be a fast track. So as we said, that now it's in the process, it's going through the DG clusters, it will go to cabinet, and then and the process is back again, and then it will come to parliament.
Oh, okay. Thanks, DG.
Chairperson, just quickly on what you were saying, I just wanted to find out, DG, the secretariat and the GBVF interim committee, is that the same thing or is it two different structures?
There's no interim committee. The interim committee that started, when was it? I think 2018 or 2019 was disbanded, I think in 2020. Now we have this secretariat. However, the IMC has a something called TTT, is technical task team. It has one person from our department, one person from justice, and all those work to report to the IMC. So that is what we have. And then we have something that when the council could not be established, the department and civil society. Yes, some civil society are not participating, but some civil society are participating. We call it collaborative initiative, where both an official of the department and official of civil society, they are co-leading at looking at the implementation of the pillars. Pillar one to pillar six. So that is what exists. It's not a formal, that is not a formal structure. No one is paid for that. So the only thing that is in existence now is that a secretariat. There's no interim steering committee. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, DG, for clarification, because I was also confused. Okay. Honorable Sheriff, are you clarified?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I am clarified. I would just like more information on that informal structure that has civil society and the department. Just some more information, maybe a one-pager report on who they are, what they do, just so that we can also do oversight, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, seconded.
Thank you. It will be finished. Thank you.
Yeah, DG, if on our meeting of Thursday, you can bring that to us, it will be appreciated.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And then also, Chairperson, the other thing that we can submit to you even before Thursday, there was a question by Mam, I think it's Mam Song, well, let me go, about NYGA. So the response would be, NYGA will respond to that, but we were saying that NYGA had already submitted a list of all the beneficiaries to Parliament. There was a parliamentary question about that. So that information can be shared with the members. It's already there because it was submitted to Parliament. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. So those issues have been covered extensively. We were still responding to the Socioeconomic Empowerment Index, and I was saying for that research to happen, specifications have been drafted already, and they are awaiting to be advertised. We are working closely with our internal unit, which is supply chain management, and we do have a bid specification committee that we have established that will be looking into the responses that we'll be receiving for this work. And we have also developed terms of reference as to what is it that we want to achieve with this kind of work and by when this work should be concluded. So this is where we are at in terms of the SEEEI. There was also a further question around what is the context of the biannual report. I think we will then provide the biannual reports that we've already produced so that members can be privy to that. But we submit that report biannually, and it captures the past period up till that particular day in terms of the work that we have done. But what would be of interest again to yourselves now is that all of that work culminated into this 1 year or annual report that has just been recently launched by the president. We can provide a link to that so that members can also be privy about progress made, challenges that you're experiencing, achievements that you have made, but also what we are proposing to do with some of the areas of development as well. We were also asked a question as to how many departments have reported. But I still feel that for me, Chair, to respond, I need to say all the departments ought to respond because GBV is cross-cutting. And if they have their entities, they have to find a mechanism to also retrieve reports through their entities. But those that have already responded, it's a long list. We can provide it. It's from SEPS to Home Affairs to NPA, Higher Education, GCIS, Public Works, Basic Education, DPSA, DSD, Department of Justice, Department of Labor, StatsSA, National School of Government, DPME, Water and Sanitation, Department of Housing and Settlement, of Human Settlement, your COGTA, your small business, National Treasury. So the list is endless. But I'd like to bring to your attention those that were not responding, and we had to raise it at the FOSAT cluster and various DG meetings. That was Department of Transport, but we have since picked up that at the time when the NSP was actually compiled, there were no specific issues that were teased out for them. And now that we are reaching out to them and consulting them as we are solidifying the MNE framework and its plan, we are now bringing forth those issues so that they too can begin to report. There's a lot of work that we are doing with them within the taxi industry around GBVF. The other one is the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. We have raised this issue. We are a member of what we call Priority 6 on Social Cohesion and Nation Building. We have raised this issue sharply to them, and they will be also coming to the party within the forum that looks at solidifying all these MNE activities until every department acknowledges that these are our MNE targets, these are our MNE indicators, whatever the case may be, and we are now prepared to report around those. SALGA too was not coming to the party, and today there is a session that also involves SALGA. These issues will also be raised there, and we continue to reach out to them. But the fact that we have COGTA on board, we would like to see how best we can work through them to reach out even to those structures like SALGA. Science and Technology, DSI and Innovation, we're not doing that well, but since the last month or two, we have seen an improvement in that regard. They are also reporting against the activities that are there in the NSP. In terms of the, there was a question from Umama that I think they were referring to Pro Quarter 4, that there were two programs that were not achieved under Program 2. And if my memory serves me well, that was the prevention strategy and the National Council. And DG has already explained the road we traveled with the National Council and where we are at now in dealing with the issue of the legislation that will in turn inform the governance issues of the council once it is established. But on the prevention strategy, we just did not have that capacity internally. And what we then saw fit was to partner with other critical stakeholders so that we increase our capacity, but we have that technical expertise, because prevention is very broad. It spans beyond government. It goes to the role of civil society, the role of community-based structures, your faith-based organizations, the role of private sector. It's just broad. But also, it cuts across children's issues, because we can't just focus on women. There are many factors that are contributory factors to gender-based violence. One of them, which is key, is substance abuse. And you can see when we are dealing with issues of COVID-19, when we curtail the supply of alcohol and all, we're beginning to see how manageable the issues of GBVF are in those instances. So UNODC has also come on board. They will bring in their part. So we've pulled all the critical people so that it is owned collectively with some of the key members of civil society. We do have now the draft that we are now working on, and there's a lot of work that we'll be doing in consulting as well with relevant key stakeholders with what we already have at our disposal at this point in time. In terms of sanitary, all provinces have rolled out the sanitary program in this quarter one. We don't have problems. Those that were not pulling their weight, we had to make sure that we write to their DGs through our DG. We raise the issues sharply. We continue to raise those issues at the National Task Team for Sanitary. So departments are aware that there is a double monitoring lens from our side through NTT and from your side as Parliament, and that they will be called and they will account, and also they will be made to account at a very high level. Because I recall that you sent some province back because their HOD was not there, and they are taking these issues now quite seriously, even in the manner in which they are reporting to us. Those are some of the things that I thought I should respond to around the issue of, or there was something that we said we've achieved two targets. I mean, we have not achieved two targets, but we're also talking about 100% spending. Some of these targets are not targets that had that required a full allocation of funding. There was no funding for the prevention strategy. For the council, we did not spend as per the way explanation of the DG at a particular point until such time that we got the go-ahead from Treasury on how to use that allocation. And that's when even the Secretariat came on board. So that's it from me on the issues that I had to respond. The social impact workstream, the impact of the unrest in the area of KZN and Gauteng is that women were hardest hit in the sense that they are the ones that are holding fort at home in terms of food security perspective. So there was a problem around food shortages. There was a problem around food supply chain management, particularly from the stores around. They had to walk for some time for distances to go and buy food and queue and all of that. So that was threatening food security, not only in that province, but in the country. What we then did was to make sure that through DSD, we had key pillars that we were supposed to deal with. One of them was, how do they even access the DSD services? Because some of the offices were closed, some of the cars were taken or stolen, and a lot of things were done to those vehicles. Provision of food to the most vulnerable households and the individuals was one of the areas of intervention through our offices of the Premier and the local municipalities, as well as organizations on the ground. We further made it a point that we have another pillar that provided psychosocial support services and a pillar that provided the social relief of distress, which was either in the form of an SRD voucher or the grants that are now coming to be effected. But we also addressed child protection services. Most of the young people were arrested, and those were children in conflict with the law. We ensured that we dealt with them in accordance with the prescripts, and parents were worried, were concerned, because some of the parents didn't even know that their kids were out there looting. So we had to do a lot of psychosocial support between those mothers and their children, but return the kids into custodial care, those that were below the age of criminality, as determined by the Criminal Procedure Act. We had to make sure that we return them to the custody of the parents and place them under diversion program. So in that way, we had to provide some bit of support. But there was also a bit of social mobilization that was led by the Department of Arts and Culture, working with the offices of the Premier and some of their champions, just to deal with the issues of conflict on the ground. Soon we will be bringing in the Department of DERCO. They will be strengthening the whole issue around the training of women in particular, using some of their pillars of the National Action Plan on Peace and Security, particularly around issues of conflict management, because even though we don't have war conflicts per se, but we do have these unrest and riots, and women can play a critical role within the social cohesion perspective. So that's it from me in a nutshell. And on the MNE, I would like Madam Esther to also come in and endorse, I mean, support some of the responses. But we do have an MNE framework and an MNE plan. We are now taking it to national, to provinces and to municipalities, where we'll be further engaging them about the content of those documents, them indicating to us around those targets that have been set, and also accepting or amending, so that once it is finally approved and tabled as a final document, it is binding to all of us. But she will come in as well and add more around that area. That's it so far from my side, DG and members of the portfolio committee.
Before Esther comes in, Chair, if you may allow me, I would like to add on something on the sanitary dignity. As a Director General, I wrote to the Director General of the Department of Small Business, was it Small Business Development? Yes, requesting them, because after we analyzed the provision of the sanitary dignity, government is spending 240 or more a million on sanitary dignity, and the companies that get the tenders, most of them, some of them would be your big companies like your Procter and Gamble and all those things. So we were looking at how many women companies exist and how many of those companies get they get the tender, they benefit from this huge amount of money. So now we have written to National Treasury to say, because some of them, they can't provide, they're producing, but they can't provide a sanitary products that are SABS approved. I think there's one or two that have produced those standards. We have written to small business to investigate, to look at what products are required and how they can assist those people, but also to assist women, so that we have in all 9 provinces women that are providing this product, so that they can benefit from that money. So I was just trying to show our regulatory aspect of it, that the regulatory aspect is not just about writing legislation. Sometimes we produce the standards, sometimes we inform a department. It's not just coordination. Coordination and facilitation, they're different from that. This one, we instruct a department to say, you must do 1, 2, 3, 4. And what DVG Shokina was presenting on the work streams of all the departments that are providing psychosocial counseling and whatever, they were coordinating and facilitating, because it would be social development that is providing social, it would be another department that is providing different things, arts and culture, social development, and different departments participate there. Thank you very much. Esther, you can come in.
Esther will come in Thursday. Our time is up. So we'll have to adjourn our meeting. So other matters that you haven't responded to, Didi, you can present them on Thursday. On Thursday afternoon, we'll be having our meeting Thursday afternoon because it will be busy from morning up until late. But I think our meeting will start around 4 or 5, if I'm not mistaken. We'll still have to check the Parliament program on what time are we going to finish. But at least our meeting will start late Thursday so that we can finalize all these reports.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you very much, honourable members. We've come to the end of our meeting due to time constraints. In fact, we have passed with 30 minutes. We're over with 30 minutes, so we'll have to adjourn our meeting. And thank you very much, honourable members, and DM, DG, we'll see you Thursday afternoon. Mandy, you'll have then to apply for our Thursday meeting afternoon.
Yes,
so that we can finalize our report.
Will do.
Okay. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.